You heard it right here, right now from the beat.
The new ivory is mammoth.
What do you guys want to know? I've done way too much research on dinosaurs.
Almost a larger than life figure.
No reason at all to think it was made by aliens.
Drop down and go swimming as fast as you can. Out of whale.
All these big giants, give me a kiss and tell me they don't.
The crowd, just the pop, the loudness, the excitement, the electricity.
I don't know if I can take your little Canadian destroyer.
The future is scary, but it's also wonderful.
Welcome to the podcast where genuine meets uncensored, powered by Jägermeister. With yours truly, Unscriptified Podcast. There was an idea to bring together a group of remarkable nations and unite them under one banner, but this is not Avengers movie, it's reality, and we are going to talk about the concept that has been discussed for decades, lingering on the margins of European and global politics, United States of Europe. Deeper political, economic, and cultural integration among European nations, it would be, in short, strengthening of institutions like European Parliament, European Commission, harmonizations of laws and regulations, and giving birth to something that would be referred to as European identity. But this complex endeavor still remains complex and distant. Luca, how are you doing? And are you ready to dissect this theme?
Yes, I'm ready, and you know we have a unique perspective, I would say, on this, because we live in a country that is forever going to be a candidate.
Yes,
to the European Union, an actual member. So we're good.
Shout out to Turkey.
Yeah. Well, they're like Serbia, you know. Serbians, they kind of want, but they don't want. You know, they like the status of the candidate, but, you know, their policies and, you know, their work is not towards actually doing.
Yeah, but Turkey actually, in all its political actions, states that it doesn't care, but their surveys will be different because they would like to join, but they don't want to meet the expectations and demands to join.
Serbians will, just like you said, they were like, for all to remain the same as their own business, but, you know.
But to get some money from other states.
Money, you know, you know, some subsidies and things like that. But, you know.
And we want to find some way around it, you know. To just,
We want to kind of slip through. It's like.
And that's fair.
Because what we are 600,000 plus people.
Yeah.
So we won't hurt anybody.
We are a district of one decent great nation.
Basically. So we would like disrupt the things.
No.
That's the argument we make for our because we are in shitty conditions politically, but nobody would notice us.
I mean, if we were part of European Union,
nobody would know.
It certainly wouldn't change much for European Union, but it would change so much for us.
Oh yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Well, so it would be like charity work in some sense.
Yeah, I mean, Europe wouldn't gain too much from us, but we would gain a lot from.
And I mean, like any other, this one included team, political team, you can always imagine it being in some, you know, maybe cozy bar, or maybe after dinner and sipping on favorite drinks and everything. And there's one Eurosceptic, there's one nationalist, there's one globalist. And that's kind of also, in one weird manner, the beauty of European diversity.
Yes, because we have all those.
But...
Yeah, I mean, I agree on that part, and especially because I would assume, I don't know about our, obviously, because as we said, we're not members, so we don't have the clear image of what our... European.
And majority of, sorry for interrupting you, but majority of our audience from the United States of America actually don't care about this.
I mean,
but this would be like Eurozone and Schengen on steroids.
Yeah. But I don't know, me personally, so again, from this unique perspective, like we said, our entrance into it probably wouldn't change much for the union itself. Yeah. But why would, if from my perspective, this smaller perspective, I kind of have become more a little bit, you could call it, Eurosceptic, as you mentioned, in the past year or two, I would say. And that is exactly because, you know, this idea of United States of Europe is materializing, maybe. Well, not materializing, wouldn't be fair to say it, but there is a push for it. There's definitely a push for it, you know, especially on the French side.
Yeah.
Macron is always calling, he's even calling for the
European. Because they think they would be in charge. But
yes. Well, for the European army, but we already have a NATO, it's kind of beats its own purpose, right? And things like that. And I don't, I'm not a huge fan of centralization. And some people would say, oh, we will work like States of America and, you know, this and that. But I have a very much problem with some bureaucrats in Brussels, you know, running this country, because it's when we spoke to Anthony Tucker Jones, United States of America is kind of unique. And one of the reasons for it is because these states, you know, they have this history that isn't South Dakota or California is not France and Great Britain, because South Dakota and California doesn't have that like unique thousands of years history of this civilization that went through so many changes. Well, they certainly have a different form of history. It's not that politically complicated, intrigued with wars, and it's rather simple. I would say, you know,
yeah,
many of these states, and like if you think something like France and say Great Britain, although Great Britain is now not a member of the EU, you're talking about wars between countries. You're talking about political tensions, history shared. You know, I have a hard time seeing that somebody who grew up in especially these leaders who grew up obviously in a very separated society with its own, you know, history and you know, face and knowledge and you know, identity, caring somebody from you know, Italy would be also concerned, and that would favor the Italy in these policies, yeah, than they would Hungary or Slovakia or Montenegro or, you know, anybody else for that matter.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, but United States of America, they basically jump-started everything, starting with 13 colonies, unionizing at the beginning, and, you know, and starting with democracy, which Europe didn't have for a long period of its history, even with democracy being born in the Europe.
Yes.
But, you know, but Rome wasn't built in a day, so.
No.
But I think that idea isn't really materializing, but there's certainly some talk about it. But I think we are long way from achieving this European political ambition of United States of Europe. But I don't think it's wrong. I don't think it's right. I think. We must admit that as a political system, at least on paper, and what we see from the outside, United States of America are functioning.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Are essentially, with little disruptions like from California and Texas wanting to get out of it and all those, a little bit.
Those talks are brewing up.
Yeah.
A little bit.
But there won't be anything from that.
Yeah.
No. I mean, basically. And what I was saying, but it's functioning, and I think on paper it would be possible to achieve this, of course. And
a functioning United States of Europe.
Because we, inside of the European Union, we already, with all harmonization of the financial laws, fiscal laws, of common currency between the countries, with some exceptions, of course, we have a high degree of union.
Yes, when integration is pretty deep, right?
Yeah, pretty deep and almost completed in some way. But what would be bad is exactly what you said, this shared history among all the countries, even with Turkey, that is not the part of current European Union. this history between them and other Christian European states, there would be constant conflict. And United States didn't have that problem. And you know that cultural differences, ethnical differences, differences in races are major problem maybe for social integration. And it's generally speaking, there's a lot of arguments that we see on the internet are based on this, mostly ethnic similar. But I don't think that integration of European states, but we have another problem, that not all European states are part of European Union.
Yes.
And you cannot make United States of Europe without all European countries, of course.
But you think about this. Do you think that in a way, the French, I'm picking on French, right? Mm-hmm. Or Austrians or whatever, or, you know, Germans. Do you think, this is not, doesn't have any hate towards it in this argument, but this is just legit. Do you think that they maybe look at, for example, Balkans as a bit of ghetto?
Yeah, definitely.
They surely do. You know, they don't, Balkans as, this is the nice place, uh-huh. This is Germany and then France, and this is whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you will love the quote I prepared for the end, but so I leave my point on what you asked me right now with that quote, and I don't want to ruin it at this moment. You know, like you said, it is ghetto, but, you know, things were quite different when we had Tito and Yugoslavia.
We had our own thing.
Yeah, but we did, because we were big, we were important and everything.
It felt important, which was the only thing that we cared about.
And the other considered us important.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we missed that. We really missed that.
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at the last great expansion of European Union with Baltic states and Eastern Europe, it's simple political move. It's not for economical prosperity of the European Union. It's not for the charity work we mentioned with Montenegro. But it was frankly political. So blunt attempt of politics, but. And expansion of NATO together with it and similar. But
aren't we just a huge member of NATO? So important.
Yeah. And we are fulfilling our obligations towards NATO. The part of our GDP is that we need to send is going there.
So Trump the Iran bomb us and shit.
Yeah. But he knows we are dangerous people.
Yeah.
But I mean,
whoever doesn't pay, his bar is going to shit. You know, this is the mafia.
I also am not a fan of centralization, but strategically speaking, I think that this kind of centralization of European laws, institutions, which we already maybe have, not of all European states, which would be constant problem if we want to attempt to achieve this United States of Europe, is...
Most people aren't interested in just one topic.
Don't settle for a podcast about just one subject. That rhymed.
Greetings. We're technically a conversation, a podcast for curious people by curious people.
On our podcast, we do things just a little bit different.
Every week, we share a new topic, and the other hosts have no idea what the topic will be.
Our topics are all over the place, from light and funny to dark and sometimes spooky.
We've covered everything from true crime, historical events and people, the supernatural and the occult.
I like that.
Urban legends and folklore.
My favorite.
No matter what we cover, we try to make the episodes interesting and funny.
Don't mean to be the bad guy, but our lawyer said we legally couldn't call our show funny.
We have a lawyer?
Let me tell you what I told our lawyer. Come here so I can show you how far I can legally stick my high-heeled boot up here.
Check us out at technicallyaconversation.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Technically a Conversation.
We're like a lifestyle brand.
Yeah.
Our advantage in geopolitical scene that we have United States of Europe and that we have the president of the European states,
who should be a pretty powerful guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And that would make European economy giant.
Yes.
It's already important. It's big. But other big countries like China, like even Brazil, Saudi Arabia with all those oil, with Russia, with United States, they will eat us out because, to be quite frankly, Europe doesn't matter anymore. It's not the center of the world.
Yeah, but one thing is clear.
And we think we are.
Well, here's also one problem, which is why I'm, about the my main is always problem, like I mentioned, centralization. Here's one thing. Like, think about and great things about EU. I would say a single market, I think single market is, it certainly helped.
It's idea of the European Union, not yes. The United
and
States.
And I mean, the single market helped, especially countries that, later joined to economically prosper.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody convince you anything else. Obviously, it's not the sole reason, but it very much worked for their favor.
Mm-hmm.
I like the monetary union. Mm-hmm. I'm not against that. So I am pro single market. I like the monetary union. I like the euro because, and some of my libertarian colleagues would call me now, it's not kind of wouldn't be a libertarian thing, mm-hmm. but I think it actually kind of serves its well because, the monetary union would keep us all accountable, so to speak, on euro. I like that.
Yeah.
Here's what I don't like. I don't like, for example, when you see every 2 years a new climate change goal reducing emission for this percentage and this percentage, and then they tell us, in 3 years you're going to close all the... you're going to close by 30% your energy supply that runs on gas or coal or whatever,
Nuclear energy.
Yeah.
Tell that to France.
Tell that to France. The French are like, from this moment on, we consider nuclear energy a clean energy. 10 years ago, it wasn't. But now, because we need it, fuck you. It is. Now it's considered clean. But if you had that conversation 15, 20 years ago, nuclear energy wouldn't be considered. And then you are in this situation where these goals are set up, but they're not made by people who actually have a knowledge of ground or of what people, of what a working, average Joe, as they say, can afford himself and how he advances mm-hmm. and progresses in this. It's just these politicians that have these grandiose goals and have no real appreciation or even knowledge for the common man's life, so to speak.
But that's not the problem of the concept of the United States of Europe. That's the problem of the politics itself.
Yes,
you have this all around the world.
What I say in that regard is I think that these, because you see it in Europe very much, especially on the climate change, those you and Google these climate change goals, zero CO2 emission by 2050 or whatever. And this, I would fear that those kind of attitudes would go on in various other areas of, if you were to centralize more, because there would be like, and there would be like things like, for example, common taxes, if some countries want to have, this is why a lot of G7, they hate tax havens. And they want to say to you that tax havens are worst places on earth and, everybody that does puts his money there or opens the business there is a criminal. because in Brussels, if you want to live, you're going to pay not high amounts of money. I mean, in Slovenia, I remember I did some paper on it. In Slovenia, if you earn a year, up to 80,000, I think it was 80,000 was, I think, the last break. You pay 50% on tax income. And when you say tax the rich, we're not talking about millionaires here. We're not talking even about the crazy numbers, We're talking about the people, probably living very good, not very good, better than the common. But these taxes are huge. They're crazy. And if, for example, like Ireland wants to keep its tax low and, attract the businesses and, you know, deregulate the those areas. And Estonia is doing that. I don't want some asshole in Brussels to tell him, well, you can't do that. You know, you're going to tax everybody at 40% because we say it, you know.
Yeah, that would be the first clash between the national and overnational.
Losing the sovereignty is the, you know.
Yeah, but some nations already gave the part of the sovereignty being part of European Union, common market, united monetary policy, in some degree harmonization of fiscal policy. But I
want the subsidies for the agriculture as well.
Yeah, but common tax is a bullshit because basically tax is paying for the service that your country is offering you, and not every country is offering you the same services.
Yes,
the same. You don't have the same resources in that country and similar. And it's a great way, and it's how the market works. Tax itself is a competition where to live, basically, and where to start your business, to do what you do. But what I think that would be, and to be honest, United States of Europe would be unjust. That's obvious. I mean, because you will have the this diversification between the North and the South, between the rich and the poor. You have that in United States of America, where the majority of capital is in few countries, in few square meters, let's say, and basically.
One thing to interrupt you just for a second, I was ribbing on these great powers in the European Union, but what I also think is not fair is, you know, you go into EU budget and some countries are givers mm-hmm. and some are receivers of the money.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, like some country like Hungary will receive a ton of money while giving much less, you know, in the yeah. names of, you know, we're going to invest here and, you know, help it and subsizes. And, you know, I'm a market, you know.
But if you look at it in, let's say, fluid sense, in prospect of time, at one time Hungary would become the giver and the other country would become the receiver, and stuff like that can happen. But I mean, this disparities between, like I said, North and South, these economical policies, it's something that you can work on. It's something that you can leave to countries in some manner, because the tax is not the same. Even the United States of America, every country doesn't have same laws.
States don't have state tax.
Yeah.
You know, obviously pay federal, but, you know.
But what I think would be the first and the last alpha and omega, the kicker in this whole story, is this cultural integrity. Like you said, we have centuries of history. We have diverse cultures. Our culture is way more different than French culture, than German culture, than Norwegian culture, Spanish, everything. You have, and what you need to achieve with the idea of the United States of Europe is that everybody
looks on the same goal.
Being so patriotic,
yeah,
looking towards their national flag, identifying himself as the French, as the Montenegrin, as German, as Portuguese, to say, I'm not Montenegrin, I'm European.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Every American, when you meet him, will say, I'm American.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And from which country? Oh, California, you know? They have this sense of patriotic feeling towards its own country, this local patriotism, it would be. But they are all loyal to the United States.
Yeah.
And I think that European continent will not be loyal to Europe in any near or distant future. It will be all those egos, you know, like Americans boasting with their ego. But we have a small country like Montenegro has 1,000 years of history.
Yeah.
It has its kings, its victories, its glory.
Beefs. Most important, you know, because California doesn't have historic beef. It's South Dakota.
Nah.
You know, except if sports teams play. That's the best they can get.
Or Civil War.
Yeah, I mean, but that's not even, like, strong in that sense, because it's... You could say it's historical, but we're talking about thousands of years here. And I first, like you mentioned, and I think this goes for you, would you be able to say, for interest of the euro, I will forsake the interest?
No.
I would.
You don't need to finish the question.
Yeah.
I know.
I would. Yeah. I would be Montenegrin first every fucking day.
Yeah.
And the people in Yugoslavia.
And that's in the nature of the European people.
Yes.
Basically.
And people in Yugoslavia, no matter the propaganda of brotherhood and unity, at the end of a day, and you can even look at the census, which is, you know, obvious statistics, there were only 3% people that actually called themselves Yugoslavians.
Yeah.
They were Serbians, they were Croatians, Slovenians, Montenegrins, Bosnians, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. I wouldn't be able to say that I am European before I'm a Montenegrin, as much as any German wouldn't be able to, and any, you know, especially, you know, French wouldn't be able to, or whatever. And that's about it. And then we will go to
and, not the first.
Yes. And like I said, there would be that, like you mentioned also, there would be that, you know, Western Europe and Eastern Europe, there will be, you know, up on Scandinavia, and they will be down here.
Yeah. And another kicker would be that absolutely nobody would be willing to give more power to Brussels than it already has.
Yes. And, you know, Brussels is trying to push this idea through various, you know, hidden means, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Will that work? I don't know. Maybe you see the United States of Europe, I don't know, come to reality, but it is very hard for me to see that concept working for a lot, to be sustainable and functioning, at least in the near future. But, you know, well, let's see what happens. And if we in Serbia enter by 2030, who knows what will happen?
And I would end this with a quote and answering on your previous question. And I chose a quote from the Yugoslavian prime minister in the time of the greatest inflation that the Yugoslavia has seen, Ante Marković, the loved president.
He was like a market fundamentalist.
At
that time.
And he said, on Yugoslavian language, Zablude ćemo plaćati siromaštvom, trovanjem duha i položajem daleke periferije u Evropi. And translated to English it will be, we will pay for our delusions with poverty, poisoning of the spirit and the position of a distant periphery in Europe.
And you know, Bismarck, if there's ever war starts in Europe, it would be on the Balkans.
So that's so matter. Bismarck and Trump has something in common.
Yes.
So that was it for this.
Now let me mention Werden Bruder.
I will just tell you to stay tuned for the next week. See you.
We stay genuine, uncensored and unscripted, and we always will, as we have to order our usual. Share us, subscribe us, and stay tuned until the next Wednesday.
Iguzo!